Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this podcast, if you will, if that's what we're My name is Robert.
Sam.
And I'm Trey. My man said, I guess this is the podcast.
Yeah, I guess this is. We're the three black men. We're in the hood now, baby. Anyway, so two things to start off this particular episode. One, we have to give a shout out to our Patreon community. And, you know, we had a couple recent additions to the crew. So thank y'all. And there have been people who have been with us since day one. Since literally day one. And so thank y'all for, you know, keeping this run. We don't make a lot of money from this, but y'all do help us to, you know, keep things, the lights on, so to speak.
And yeah, it is, man. We don't make a lot of money from this yet. I'm looking to a different future with, yeah.
Okay, pull it down, Pastor. And the question I want to ask y'all as we get started is, can you name a win, something you're proud of from your own life? Not your kids, not anyone else. Yeah, what's a win that you maybe haven't really celebrated it enough? And I want y'all to just say it.
Okay, so I'm going to go first on this one. Surprise, I cut my hair for those of you who haven't seen.
Which you could see if you had Patreon.
If you had Patreon, you would know this already.
Yes,
but go ahead. But I'm proud of myself. I don't say that often. Just in general, right? I don't say that often. I really like the guy, like who I'm becoming, right? The things that I'm after, love, community, you know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying life. I'm seeing God differently. I'm seeing God bigger. And all of these things, it's like affecting it's touching every area of my life. So I'm just really proud of myself for the commitment to healing. It's been tough sometimes, like finding out you're neurodivergent, pushing in your 40s when you could be like, most people start kind of going through a midlife crisis type of deal. It can be rough. And I adjust to things very slowly. I'm a slow processor. And that's okay. But I'm proud of myself for the process I've made, for the progress I've made, for who I am today. That's part of the reason I cut my hair. I'm just proud of myself. And yeah.
Hey, bro, I'm proud of you too, man. You should be proud of yourself. Good job. Like that brought joy to my soul. As you were sitting there laying that framework and everything, Rob was also sitting here being you were selling the real good, bro. Because if you had Patreon, you would see that Rob is wearing his brand new Three Black Men t-shirt.
Yeah, they distracted me.
Yeah, sipping a warm beverage out of a brand new Three Black Men mug. And it's
ain't God good
in the shot. Yeah, ain't it? Won't he do it?
Bless the Lord, saints.
And just like Trey's shirt says, it's dope.
It's a yeah, man.
Oh, he's a dope thing. Black author, but that's what it's also say. A dope black mug.
Yeah, man. It's dope all around.
All around.
But yeah, if we're talking about wins, I think some of y'all, you, Rob and Sam, I've been upfront about the fact that, yo, I've been like swimming in it recently, right? And I try not to complain because everybody got their own burden to carry, right? I don't know, Rob, like I went out there and seen your life. I'm like, oh shoot, this don't seem all the way fun over here. But nah, it's been heavy. And then the other day I really had to take inventory of the fact that, yeah, like it's a lot going on. Life does not seem to be getting any easier. But I realized that for the first time that I've been able to say that, I didn't let it weigh down on me and how I viewed myself, right? Like, I've been able to accurately read a situation without making that situation speak to my character and who I am. And that represents a level of growth. At the end of the day, I got to count that as a win. Because I think for one of the first times in my life, not only do I know who I am, but I am comfortable and content in who and what that is without letting external circumstances impact how I view myself, right? Like, all of the trouble, or not even trouble necessarily, just the stuff going on is what it is, but that don't have nothing to do with who I am and where I find my value. And I'm gonna chalk that up as a W.
Yeah, I love that. That is a W. Amen. That's, and right. Amen. For me, this is a conflicted win, but I've really sat with this over the weekend. Is I got my grades back from winter quarter, and I got two A's because, you know, your boy stays getting A's, and I got one A minus. And that part, the A minus, was hard because I really felt like I deserved the A. I'm not a perfectionist. Academia is in my life, but when you know you killed that, and then you lose a letter grade by 1%, it kind of, it stings. But I've really sat with, like, I am proud of where I've come from. I am usually not arrogant about what I know and what I don't know. I've come a long way. You know, a year and some change ago, I didn't even think I would get into any PhD program or that would be good enough. And here I am, all these A's later, and scholarship later, some grants later. I'm doing well. And so I do have to reflect on, yo, I'm out here.
you out it's, here.
Exactly.
That's right. I'm proud of you too, bro.
Thanks, brother.
I'm proud of you. I also want to validate you because you're not tripping about that A minus. Like, I still remember the one A. I graduated my last degree with a 3.93 GPA. And I know exactly what class I got an A minus in. I know exactly what professor did it. I will never forget it as long as I live. I will carry that to my grave. I feel you, bro.
Yeah, it hurts. Where you're like, don't let me see you outside.
Complaint department.
Exactly.
I need to speak to a manager, right?
Yeah, knuck if you buck.
And to this very day, I still don't know why the A minus. Like, why did you? Was it a typographical error or something? Explain this to me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. No. So. To the knuck if you buck of it all, we're talking about Cowboy Carter on this episode. Why am I like this? I don't know. So, hey, we're getting into it. First things first, give us just a couple words of what you felt when you listened to the song. Just a couple, not too many words. Not the song, but the album. Give us a couple words. Starting with Trey, go.
So I am not, okay, more accurately, I was not a member of the Beehive. Like, that wasn't me. I don't really check for, I don't dislike her. Just that part of me, there's a part of me that's contrarian. I'm just like, oh, like, everybody talking about this, I'm just not going to do it, right?
A lot of parts of you. Now give us those couple words.
First.
Words you.
Yeah, give us, yeah, you giving us a paragraph. Go.
Yeah, them couple words. This was a really enjoyable listen. It brought me joy.
I like that, brother. Go ahead, Samuel.
No, a couple words. You know what? I'm not, well, I haven't, okay.
Just a couple words of the songs you've heard.
It was, you know what? I like it. Like, I don't.
Boom. Okay. That's good.
I like it.
I really thought you was about to tick me off, Sam.
But yeah, I know. We were ready for you, brother. We love you.
I'm just trying not to do too much, but I like it. I do.
Okay. I love that.
I thought you was about to tick me off.
I was like,
I said I was contrarian, and I was about to say I'm like Sam a little bit.
Yeah, because Sam is a contrarian. For sure. You are. I love you.
I was. I haven't been doing that very much lately.
Okay, we need to walk. We need to walk hand in hand for a little while.
He said the old me is Dunbury with my life.
Yeah,
okay.
You've been raised with Christ. Amen. hey, new
I'm
nature.
Saved now.
But Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Musical genius, enjoyable. That's it. That's it. Just musical genius,
You
enjoyable.
know what? I've been really pleasantly surprised by the collaborations
Yeah.
that I've
Yes.
seen so far. Like,
Most of them.
she went Black excellence all through and through, right? And it shows. And that's why I was really just trying not to do too much because I'm like, man, this is a real, I feel like this is quality content musically. People are just haters.
They, yes. Speaking of that, let's start with the critiques and then work towards goodness and life, and just, we won't spend too long on the critiques. So I just
Which
want
critiques?
y'all.
Our critiques or other, like.
No. So the album has got a lot of backlash from people who are not of the melanated, persuasion. And I just want to hear just y'all thoughts on, I'll give you some of the critiques. One, apparently people who are white have learned the words cultural appropriation. They gaslit us for years when they, hair is just hair. What is cultural appropriation? I don't know. But now they've learned it. And so Beyoncé is being accused of cultural appropriation of country music. The music is boring. It's not really interesting. She's shoving this down our face. So, and what I see right now, which is sad, is a lot of Black people feel this like defensiveness to defend our sister, right? Like, no, they're educating people in the comments, and which is building the trolls up. And so each positive comment, you'll have like 100 negative comments, like, this is boring, the worst song I ever heard, blah, blah, blah. And there's so much energy around this, similar to what we talk about with white evangelicalism. And so I just want y'all just to say something to, how are y'all approaching this negative, I'm gonna call it a whitelash. It's not a backlash. What do y'all think about how to proceed forward with that?
I am not approaching it at all.
I love it. Yeah, say
yeah,
that,
yeah. Stay mad, die mad. We do not care. I'm here to tell you right now, we do not care. And
brother. At
I'm gonna
all.
tell you why. Right? There is one feature on the album which I didn't really enjoy, but I'm glad it's there for this reason and this reason. Post Malone found his way onto this album, and I don't understand why, but I'm glad he's there because he's the exact inverse of what Beyonce is doing here. He's a white
True.
man who parked himself in a hip hop lane for reasons that confound people, but now you like in front of the Super Bowl performing God Bless America on your acoustic guitar and everything, even though you can't really sing. And it was funny because I think it was Lord Jamar or something who pointed this out on a podcast when Lil Nas X dropped Old Town Road a while ago. And it was like, oh, how would you feel if like a white country artist like started doing hip hop music and just called? And he was like, we wouldn't care. You've just described Post Malone.
Yeah,
And here go
exactly.
Post
We've
Malone.
already seen it.
Yeah. Here go Post Malone on this album. And I don't know if he added anything of any particular value, except for the fact that now I get to commentate on the fact that, yo, people be swerving. This is just what we do. This is how art works, right? And sometimes people make art that we don't necessarily vibe with or appreciate, and you get to do that. Post Malone is actually a huge artist. Lots of people like him. There are Black people who enjoy Post Malone's music. I'm not really one of them, and that's okay. So if you're not vibing with Beyonce's interpretation of country music, you're not vibing with Cowboy Carter, cool. You don't got to make it a whole personality. I don't really talk about how I don't enjoy Post Malone's music on social media all day because that's stupid. Lots of people do, you know?
It's kind of funny for me because I'm of the belief that white people really don't get to gatekeep anything because they stole it all.
Wow,
Yeah.
you cut that
So,
hair
but
and your tongue got sharper too. Wow.
well, I
Come
mean,
on,
but
brother man.
just but to Trey's point, this is why I really don't care because at the end, like, what are you really gatekeeping? Theft? I mean, I like, but also, I realize because I've seen some in our own community that feel like it's not country music because they've adapted to the same standard as those who would critique this as to why it's not country music. And they basically agree with it. You know what I'm saying? But I realized that I think we search for familiarity in music unknowingly. But beyond that, there is skill and talent. And I think that's where Beyoncé and this album really kind of separates.
Yeah.
Because even if you cannot identify with this song, the skillfulness, the talent that goes into creating, just realizing for me, I get really impressed because I also listen to a lot of late 90s and 2000s R&B still. So I listen to early Destiny's Child, right? And so hearing her voice development from then until now, it's very impressive. It's so much more full, the controlness that she has over her bravado as opposed to where it was when she first began. Like, these are things that if you're not really a musician, you don't really pay attention to and you really don't understand. And to see people just push past the talent that's there, right? And then try to elevate people who haven't done that or don't have the ability to develop into, you know, their vocal cords into much, and try to elevate them with that. That don't, yeah. So
yeah,
I just, it don't bother me because I realize that y'all can't even have this conversation with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love
that range.
You said all other people I teach.
Yes.
I would talk about peers. Yeah, for me, I think to Sam's point is like, I woke up in the middle of the night last Thursday night after it came out, you know, so I woke up 2-3 in the morning and I was like, you know, let me just sneak on to, you know, Threads, which is where I reside now. It's my resting place. I was like, let me see what Black people saying about the album. You know, I'm scared, you know. It was so beautiful. It's one of those, there's a couple of cherished memories I will have from the culture, you know, over, you know, the past 40 years of my life. And that is one of them, to see how many Black people were vibing with the album. It was bringing joy. I could not stay up to midnight because that's not who I am as a person, but I respect you, you know.
Respect the hustle though.
You know, Brittany Pagnett Cunningham had a whole like, thoughts, you know, like a whole article written almost. And what I loved was not just Black people, but I felt like Adele when she gave that speech where she was like, you know, Beyonce, how you make my Black friends feel. Just watching the unfiltered Black joy and diving into the music. I respect a lot of musicians, to Sam's point, who had real love for the musicality of the album. And that's just, it was beautiful. And so immersing myself in that allows me to not think about the critics outside who some people are saying, Beyonce can't even sing. Okay, all right, you know. And so rather than destroy my own joy, I'm just tuning those things out. You know, the book Black Imagination says, close your eyes and let the white gaze disappear. And that's how I'm approaching this album. I'm just letting the white gaze disappear. Yeah. And I think of something like something that you were talking about earlier, Sam, was about collaboration and the collabs on the album. Trey, you talked about a collab that you didn't need. That was the, you know, like I didn't ask for this. But what do y'all think about, like, there's an artist like Beyonce. She doesn't need collaborations to make this a hit.
No.
But I think she embodied the ethic of collaboration over competition. And so what do y'all think about some of the collabs on the album? Is there one that was your favorite? I know. Yeah, Trey lit up. So go ahead. You know, so what do you think about each song? Almost has like 10 writing credits on it, of people that she was vibing with. What do y'all think about that? And do you have a favorite? Go.
First and foremost, I like the spirit of collaboration because one of the things when people are like, oh, this isn't country music, I'm like, okay, cool. I can honestly see that. And I don't know how concerned they were with making a quote unquote country album. And I think the inspiration is clearly there. And one of the things about inspiration is that it's built around building upon precepts. So the idea that we would then collaborate with other people who have different exposure to different things actually makes this project better in my mind. Like it makes it something that more people can enjoy and get into because there are more perspectives that are reflected in this with the garnishings of somebody who is undeniably one of the greatest. How you quantify greatest is up to you, but greatest artist of our time, whether we're talking about sales or impact or whatever, like Beyonce is that. She's there now, like an all-timer at this point. But my favorite collaboration is the one where her and Miley Cyrus, what's the name of that song? I gotta pull it up so I don't embarrass myself.
Most Wanted.
Yeah, Most Wanted. Most, that's the one.
Yeah,
2 Most Wanted. And just because sonically, the way that both of their voices mold with that actual track, like put together, and just like there's a depth to both of their voices, excuse me, and a quality that is, it just makes it an enjoyable listening experience. And then since both of those people have been in the public eye for so long, and we've seen both of them grow up, right? Like Beyonce was a teenager when she came onto the scene with Destiny's Child. Miley Cyrus the same when she was Hannah Montana and all this stuff. And to see like where they've gone in, of course, Miley Cyrus is taking a different journey. A large part of it, I don't respect just with regards to the way that the culture was used and then discarded and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when all of that is put aside and you listen to what's going on, like, oh snap, like this right here is a vibe. Like that song sounds good. It makes you want to listen to more of it. Like if they were to collab a few more times, I don't know if I would enjoy it, but I know I would find out because I'm listening to whatever they put out. And that was one of those things. Well, I never thought of this combination before, but it worked. And as like somebody who appreciates the process of creation and finding things that work when you didn't expect it to, like I found a lot of joy in that particular experience.
Yeah, I love that. I think in general, for me, I don't know why there's an alarm going off in the background. Somebody's getting arrested or something. But like, for me, I love collaboration. I actually enjoy collaborating more than doing my own thing, right? Like people always ask me, why don't you promote your own stuff more? Why don't you, get out there more? You know, people want to hear you. And I just don't enjoy that. I like collaborating with people. And maybe this is the jazz musician in me. I like bouncing ideas off of people, right? Like that type of jazz trio is how I just enjoy creating. And so people have knocked Beyonce for having so many writers and so many producers on a song because the thought is she should be able to do it by herself by now. And I think it is better together going forward rather than doing it alone. The journey is less lonely. You get way more ideas and it's beautiful. And so to see her, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the critiques that I saw on The Bad Place was that like she always like sends people flowers, but she never puts people on. And I'm like, what do you think about like what's with the writer's credits?
Exactly.
Like, how do you not? But also like in her last album, wasn't there an issue with Police and her feeling like she didn't get the correct writer's credit? Like I think there are a lot of things that people always got something to say.
Yeah, and for me, it's funny because people have said, Beyonce is appropriating, white culture and whatnot, and that's just ignorance. But I think y'all are understanding writers' credits. These people are getting paid.
Yeah.
y'all trying to defend Dolly Parton for having her song blasphemed. Dolly's getting paid. Dolly loves Cowboy Creeper. Dolly is like... Dolly's like, sing it, girl, sing it.
She was on the album.
But do you know that Dolly's getting paid? And so I think this competition over collaboration is really rotting y'all minds. And you're not realizing that everyone is benefiting. They did this quick poll of all of the Black artists that were featured on the album, and their sales have gone up something like 400% of their own music because people are now finding out who they
Rightly
are.
so.
Yeah, it collaboration helps everyone win. When you're the only person in the pot, only you benefit. And
Yeah.
I'm a fan. But anyways, all that to say, go ahead, Sam.
Look, that's better than going in for exposure. That's how you do it the right way, I feel like. But I was gonna, my favorite collaboration are both the collaborations with Shaboozey,
Oh
Spaghetti and the one Sweet
No, he
Honey.
eats.
Yeah.
He really ate that up.
Well,
He
the
really
first one,
did.
Spaghetti, what I love about it is they have Linda Martell, who was also a black country singer, or the first black woman to sing at the Grand Ole Opry.
And she had a bad time in country, like a
Well,
really
the
rough
first
time.
she did, and the first thing they sample from her is genres are a funny concept, aren't they? And that's the first sample they use, like, you know what I'm saying, from the Linda Martell. And I view that song as like the same thing Shaboozey has been facing as a black male artist in the country. It's the same thing that Beyonce is now experiencing trying to put this album. And it's like it's funny because, you know, people, when white folks appropriate a black scent, right, or how they think, you know, black people might talk in a
Say
certain
your
area.
name. No, I'm joking.
People say, oh, well, they might say, oh, well, I'm just being me. I'm just being myself, right? And we're supposed to accept that and assume that that's not some sort of appropriation, like along with so box braids and cornrows too. That's all you being yourself. Well, one of the things that she also says in a song that I would like to talk about a little later, and she kind of acknowledges in American Requiem and why she wrote it, is the fact that she was all there was always some sort of judgment for how she was when she first came. She talked too country. She had too much of a twang. Like where she's from, and she's even telling you in that song where she's from, like her grandfather was a moonshiner. You telling her she can't make country music? He was a moonshiner in Louisiana. And like she's from the deep south, and she can't, like, the music she make ain't naturally country. She talks country, but she don't make country music at all. Like her music has to have a genre. And I just feel like listening to Spaghetti when Linda Martell's like, oh, well, genre is a funny concept, right? I really feel like genres were really created to put us in a place. You know what I'm saying? To really keep us out. Like you can't not acknowledge the greatness. Like they're not great musicians,
No,
right?
you're right.
Are they great at what they do? Sure, but they just can't do what we do. And I feel like that's the purpose of genres, and I don't like that. And I think that's kind of where I feel like that's sort of where she's going with this. Like this ain't no country album. This is a Beyonce album. This is just me. All of this music came from my soul with collaborators who think like-minded, or you know what I'm saying, who saw the vision of a song and we grasped it together and we made a beautiful song together. Whether it sounds country-esque or whether it sounds popish, whether it sounds more hip, whatever, we made this. Yeah.
I want to say something and ask y'all one question before we take a break. First, I will say collaboration brings out hidden beauty, things that you can never unearth by yourself. And this is why I want all creatives to listen to me and listen to me good. Collaborate with people. You're not that smart to do it on your own. There's hidden beauty that's unearthed, like you're saying, with all the different genres that can come out when you're bouncing ideas off of somebody. Because Shaboozey probably brought things out of Beyonce. You saw because Beyonce was rapping even different on
Yeah.
that swing. I said Shaboozey was bringing
Yeah.
something out. And I want to ask y'all a question before break, because some people are listening to the sound of our voice. And they're confused because it's the theology, culture, and the world around us. And they're confused because they are saying to themselves, how are these brothers listening to secular music? And of course, y'all know us by now. We're not going to defend ourselves because that's foolishness. Unless you pay us, then I'll defend it all day. But
You can hop in Patreon and I will defend it for a couple moments, for a pair of
Exactly.
seconds.
For a pair of seconds, if you will. What would you say to the person who's a little confused? Like, they came for the theology, maybe they understood culture to be something different. Y'all listening to secular music, what's going on? All the sexual things on this album, what would y'all say?
Sam, you going first?
I'll go first. I'll go.
Yeah, go
Yeah,
ahead, because you know
so
we.
so for me, I don't, I did a whole lecture on this in a master's class recently on the binary of the sacred and the secular in music, and how that is a man-made concept and a man-made construct. And so for me, what I'm looking for in music and art, whatever, poetry, Trey's book, Theologizing Bigger, A, I'm looking for people to narrate life under the sun, in the words of Ecclesiastes. And I don't need someone to make a false binary of what is sacred and what is secular, because I can find God in those places. And so she does. There are sexual, sensual tones. We will talk about that in, the second half. Of something like Tyrant, explicitly sexual. This isn't spiritual. She's not riding something spiritual. She's riding something else. And I don't. That isn't divorced from God. The sensuality in Desert Eagle. These are things that we long for, and I want to hear those experiences. And that is sacred to me. So that's what I would say.
So for me, the first thing that I would say is that my prayer for those individuals is that they would have a better understanding of sin and what that actually is. Trey's book can actually kind of help you with that, to be honest, like another plug for the book.
This turned into an ad. Hey.
But also James Cone, I love James Cone. And even we had Dr. Moss on, he talked about it a little bit, where James Cone talks about the blending, how most Black people typically don't really say, even though we separate secular from like church stuff or spiritual, if you will, we don't really. And an example of that would be like how the same way that back in the day women would go to, or men would go to, a Luther Vandross and stand up and shout and yell is the same thing that we also may do in church. So I don't really see secular and spiritual the same way, but also anything that brings me joy brings me joy, I find is sacred to me. If my
Say
life is a
that.
sacred text, and I believe it is for me, anything that brings me joy is sacred. So I don't really take kindly to people judging things that bring me joy, especially things that don't hurt nobody. This album really ain't hurting nobody, and it brings me some joy. And so I'm gonna enjoy this. You save the judgment for who you want to. I love you with all the love in the world, but I'm gonna enjoy this.
Yeah. The story of Jesus is one in which the sacred breaks into the profane. Like, that is what incarnation is. It's transcendence putting on finitude and what we would recognize traditionally as human corruptibility. It's the idea that, like, in one system presented in the Bible, we have people who need to offer sacrifices to enter the sacred places to deal with the profanity of their own humanity. And in Jesus, that process is reversed, where that which is sacred enters the realm of that which is profane. And so when I reflect on that, right, like, it doesn't make sense for me to look at some sacred and secular divide and honor that boundary when the story of Jesus says that no, that boundary is broken. And that which we
Tore the
view
veil, if you
as,
will.
right, that which we view as secular or profane,
Washata.
is then cleansed and redeemed. Now, hear me when I say that. It's not like we're gonna get to heaven and it's not going to be nothing but two live crew playing up there. That's not what I'm saying at all. It is that in engaging with the culture around us, we can find the areas where the Spirit of God has already preceded our exploration. We can find God in the crevices of these places. Did Beyoncé make a gospel album? No, she didn't. are there areas where you can see the power of the spirit uniting people, even if it's just a matter of collaborating? Like, wow, this is really beautiful. Two people who never thought of sharing any commonalities or whatever in this realm got here and made something beautiful. And if it can be called beautiful, if it can be called good in some sense, can I associate that with the creator of good creation, right? And is that me defending my, no, it's, I don't care to defend myself. But it is me explaining how I traverse the world in the way that I do.
I love that. I love amen, hey. Pastor. Amen, brother. So on that note,
we're gonna take us a little break. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna take us a little break, pay some bills. The rest of this conversation will be on Patreon. And you know, join us over there to hear the whole thing and to see us. I mean, we're looking good in the hood. Come on, look. Hey,
we do. We look really handsome. We do.
We really do. So, hey, bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all.
We appreciate you rocking with us for another episode of Three Black Men. Here's the part of the show where we ask a favor from you. Now, earlier I mentioned a couple of ways that you can support us by joining our community over at patreon.com/threeblackmen. We have multi-tiered support options and you can get bonus content. If you don't want to do that, you can submit a one-time contribution by finding us on PayPal at threeblackmenpodcast@gmail.com. But we ain't here to tap your pockets. Here's a few ways that you can help us out without spending a single dime. You can stop what you're doing right here, right now, and make sure that you've left us a review and a rating. Don't just give us the 5 stars. Go ahead and write out how much you love this show and tell everybody about it. Do it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you at. Make sure you leave that rating and a review, and that's going to help even more people join the fun over here. Thank you so much. I knew God loved you for some reason.